One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Another great night, great Wednesday night here at Lizzie McNeil's down by the river. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty, Buick, GMC, Volkswagen, and our old friend Carol Ann Gallagher, personal injury attorney. Just having a great time in the last maybe year and a half doing the show when we decided to switch our allegiances to Irish first responders, and we met a lot of great police, firefighters, and paramedics over the last year and a half. And tonight we have a great one with us as well, a 25-year law enforcement veteran, a pipe major in the Emerald Society Pipes and Drums Band, and a great guy from the south side of Chicago, John Harmoning.
Harmoning, yes, sir.
John Harmoning.
Thanks, Mike.
John, thanks for coming. Great having you on the show. Now, you grew up in Beverly?
I grew up in the Beverly Morgan Park neighborhood.
Cajetan's guy.
I am. Go yeah. Warriors.
Yeah. Okay. We had a Cajetan's guy on last week. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we get around. It's
yeah. You do. It's a great great parish, great neighborhood. And now you live in Mount Greenwood. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And my son, my children, my family, we participated at St. Catherine's of Alexandria.
Good for you.
We really like it there.
And so you're a sergeant in the 4th District, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit what's the 4th District like.
The 4th District is on the far side of the city of Chicago. It is the known as South Chicago.
Right.
It stretches. It's one of the largest districts in the city.
Right next to Hegwisch, I would think, right?
We take in Hegwisch.
Oh,
we
do
get
you?
All that. Yeah, yeah. We go all the way from 75th Street all the way down to the border of the city around 138th Street and then east all the way to the Indiana border and the lake.
Oh, wow.
And then west, a few blocks west of Stony Island in some places.
Man, that's a big district.
Yeah. It's big. There's a lot of different people there, a lot of great people there.
How long you been working there in that district?
I've been there since July of 19. That's when I got
promoted. Oh, okay.
To
yeah. Yeah, okay. And now, how'd you? Was your father a policeman? Was there a family connection or anything? How'd you decide to become a Chicago police officer? Oh, you were with another department first, right?
I was with the city of Oak Forest before I came on to Chicago.
Okay.
Family-wise, I had a grandfather who I never really knew,
right.
That he was a Chicago police officer. My father worked for the city. He was an assistant commissioner on the water department for many years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was his name John?
His name was Robert Harmoning Sr.
Robert Harmoning Sr. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Dad did great, and he'd always had a lot of friends, and especially in our neighborhood growing up, there were a lot of city workers.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people very active in the churches, very active in the community, very active politically.
Yes.
And
well,
you
it's
had
a great neighborhood.
It is.
19th Ward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My guy, Matt O'Shea, and then before him, Ginger.
Yeah.
And then we had all kinds of people that went through there.
Mike Sheehan.
Oh, yeah. My father was a precinct captain for 40 years.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so we've had.
Now, you know what? I did a film years ago about the water department called The Water Highway. Peter Nolan and I and Joe Howard, we got a contract to do a film about the great work of the city of Chicago Water Department. It was great. I met some great people, all about flooding and homes and all that stuff, but got to know the inside and out of the water department. Great people. Your
dad
was probably there then.
He may have been. He retired probably, I want to say, about 17 years ago, 18 years ago.
Yeah,
and he did 30 years. He worked at the Jardine Filtration Plant down the block from us, over right by Navy Pier.
There used to be an old thing on the south side, or maybe even the north side, because Jardine was a north side guy. He went to Fenwick, I think, right? And when you went, if you were at a park district and you had to get water, you said, I'm going to get a Jardine cocktail. All right, so what just made you decide I'm going to become a cop? I'm going to take the test. You were already an Oak Forest cop.
I was already the Oak Forest cop, but I had this was back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So to be the police in the early 90s, you had to look in the newspaper. You had to find who was testing, where was testing.
Yeah.
You had to make a much bigger effort than just go on your phone and start Googling things.
Right, right.
So you'd go out, you'd look around for stuff, you'd call up police departments, and then you'd have to test. You'd have to fill out applications.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not online where the kids are doing everything on their phone.
No, there was no online.
No, you had to go there. You had to have your stuff.
Yeah.
You showed up in a suit.
Wow.
My father, you're going to a job interview or you're dropping. I don't care. You go wear a suit.
Yeah.
Look professional. Let them know they're seeing someone who cares.
Yeah.
So it was good. But it's always wanted to have service. And I don't know whether it was just a thing with me or my family wanted to see that people were treated correctly.
Good for you.
And want to lock up the bad guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
In the city, I worked on the west side in the 11th district for a few years.
Yeah.
I worked in the old Prairie District 21 before they closed it down. And out of there, I made detective in the year 2000.
I was just going to ask, and you were a detective for a while, yeah.
18 and a half years.
Wow. Okay. So
great years.
I'll bet. And were you a tactical guy, or what was the deal?
I was mostly a robbery and property crimes detective, where we'd come in and, yes, we'd go out and make arrests for robberies, burglaries, thefts, financial crimes, whatever came across your desk. But our job as a detective is not the first line responder. That's what we do in patrol.
Oh, yeah.
We come in and I like to call it the finish carpentry. You got to make sure all the edges fit. Everything is done right. You have to do the interview, the interrogations.
Yeah.
Get in there and you're talking to people a lot.
So you can convict the guy too,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The one thing I always explain to a lot of people, you have to sit down and talk to them. You have to invest the time. And not just on the bad guy, but on the victim too.
Sure.
They've been injured.
Yeah.
Something bad has happened to them. They want somebody to sit there and talk to.
Yeah.
They want to let that all come out, and that we can also find that little kernel that's going to give us the right path to find out who the bad guy is and seek the successful prosecution.
You have kind of a look about you that...
I get that a lot.
You know, you might be somebody who cracks a bad guy on occasion.
No.
Or, well, one of the things I sent out in my email was, nobody to mess with. I can say that looking right at you. You know, you kind of... a foreboding presence, which is good. You know, people need to be aware that the police are not going to be, you know, paying patty cake with them.
No.
So all 18 years as a detective, any memorable events or stories?
there are plenty. There are plenty. One of my personal favorites is it was the day after the Bud Billiken parade, and is, I want to say... 2001, 2002.
Is that usually in Jackson Park? Is that what it is?
It is.
Yeah, okay.
It is. I was working in Area 1, 51st and Wentworth.
Oh, okay.
And the mayor was threatened. A guy got on the telephone.
Which
and
mayor was it?
That was Richard Daley, the second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Richie. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And on the radio, he said, actually it was his brother. John Daley, who's the...
I know John. Sure.
Yes, great guy.
Finance commissioner.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He was being threatened. Got up there and guy got on the phone and he was going to blow him up. Well...
Who did he call? He called the...
911. Because they're not taking the... They're not towing cars off a lot next to his house fast enough.
So he threatened John
A public Dale. Official.
Wow.
Which is a felony, and nor should we threaten anybody for that matter.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get the guy's phone number. We do a little work on the computer. Go to an address. My partner and I figured, okay, a guy by the name of Arnie Ramirez. Great guy. Smart detective.
Your partner, not the guy you were going to see.
Correct. Not the guy we're...
Okay.
The names will be changed to protect the innocent, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sergeant.
And we're thinking, okay, yeah, we're going to stop by this guy's house. He's not going to answer. He's going to say he doesn't know anything about it, won't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go to lunch. So we planned on having a nice lunch.
Yeah,
okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, it'll be a great day. Lo and behold, he opens the door.
What do you want?
And says, oh. And me being the detective I was and a younger detective at that time. Yeah. Hey, did you call about the cars? Yes, I did. Oh, Lord. We go inside.
Right into it,
absolutely. Walked in there. talk to him, sit down at the table, and sadly, the man had a cast on his arm.
Oh, yeah.
So we're like, okay, he's going to have to go. He talks to us. Oh, yeah. Did you call? Yeah. Do you know this guy? Well, yeah. Did you do this? Well, yeah. Okay, you got to come with us. We got to talk about it.
Right. Well, down to the station.
Down. Yeah, it's over to 50 downtown, sir.
Yeah.
You're going downtown with us. We get him. We try to arrest him. He was a thinner man.
Yeah.
But I was younger at the time, a lot thinner myself. Oh, I can catch people, no problem. We end up going out of the house. He takes off on us like a jackrabbit.
And you're leaving his apartment.
Not just ran, Mike. He ran out of his shoes, literally kicked his shoes up back. I remember him coming right at my face. So eventually we get him, and a friend of mine who was one of the TAC officers, I believe this was in the 9th District at the time, he pulls up as we had called for help to say, okay, sure. Hey, we're chasing somebody. We don't want the neighborhood. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We want to be safe, be smart about it.
Yeah.
And then next thing he knows, he's getting down there, and he sees us holding the man's cast on the ground, and my partner's on top of him. We have one cuff on him, and he gets out and starts laughing, goes, you mess with the detectives, man. You're really dumb. You're going to be in trouble now. So that was a... it was a funny one. So the funnier part was that we had to wrestle with this guy. So I had a boss at the time who was...
And he's got a cast on his arm.
His cast on his arm,
but
absolutely.
He's like a junkyard dog. Like
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So I had a boss at the time who thought himself to be a funny guy and made pictures.
Oh, wow.
So he made pictures of me and my partner, pasted my face on top of the old-time wrestler, George the Animal Steele.
Oh, yeah.
And then my partner, a nice Hispanic gentleman, put him on the face of Jimmy Superfly Snuka and posted that around the office. Now,
great.
As you talk to police, here's the thing with police work. Never let the guys know that something bothers you.
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to keep goading and goading and goading until they get you. So the first day you're laughing and it's burning. And older I said, you just got to let it go. Eventually, it'll die off. Don't worry about it.
Was everybody calling you George the Animal Steele?
Yeah. I was getting the animal for a while.
Yeah.
For a while. So, but it bad guy got charged. We did our investigation. It was a positive outcome.
Yeah.
Worked out well. And I actually was looking through some stuff in an old... a photo album.
Oh, yeah.
I still have the picture.
Oh,
so
yeah,
made me chuckle.
Yeah.
Detective work is very interesting because it's very individual based. You as the detective have to get out there and go do the work.
Right. You got to get involved.
I had a friend of mine on here, Bill Donnelly, a very dogged detective.
He's the best.
Great guy. Billy
he
is awesome.
He sends us guys all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can blame him for me. So it's okay.
Absolutely. We thank him.
Yes. I love Billy. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to have him. A dogged detective. He goes out
and
gets the job done. So that's a great thing, and we have to do that. You have to stay focused. You have to get in there. We have to put the time in to get the information.
Yeah.
About 5 years ago, I went and became a polygraph examiner for the detective
division. Oh, that's right,
So I do, they call it the lie box, the lie detector.
Yeah.
That has been a great experience because...
Now, you got to go to college and learn all that stuff, right?
You need a college degree in the state of Illinois, and then we send you to 400 hours of training, so 10 weeks of training.
Oh.
State of Illinois requires 6 months of an internship and to take a very difficult state test.
Yeah.
So the
that stuff, and
The hard part was you get sent to the newest schools that have the best and most scientific ways and means to do things, and then come back to the state of Illinois and we want to test you on something that they did 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So it can be a little frustrating.
Yeah.
But once you get them into the polygraph suite and you start talking to them, a lot of people think it's just like going and watching on TV. They set you down, they put a bunch of stuff on you and ask you questions.
Or whatever, yeah.
Polygraph actually has a lot of talking.
Oh,
that's why I say the Irish always do well at it.
Sure.
It's the gift of gab.
Yeah.
Can you talk to them over and over again until we find out what's going on?
And you want to make them comfortable. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as you said, like sometimes I can be a little foreboding.
Oh, absolutely.
I get that.
I know that George the Animal Steele.
Exactly. Exactly. So it sometimes can take me a little longer to break down those barriers.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to be able to turn on the sternness.
Yeah.
As an older detective and sergeant, it was easier because you have a lot of the clients are either the guys, the subjects of the polygraph, are generally my age,
now,
some are younger.
Do they have to volunteer to take a polygraph?
Absolutely.
So it they is. Can't say, you can't force them to take
one. No, and I wouldn't want to.
Okay.
There's too much into it, because if you force somebody into it, they're going to be hostile. They're going to be mad.
Yeah.
Their brain is going to be going more to their anger, not to the subject matter that we want to discuss.
Yeah.
So it's...
Now, are you still doing that?
Every once in a while. I am helping. We have a new group that are being trained right now. And I am a certified trainer with the state of Illinois, so I've been helping out
You're
with
that. You're an expert.
I wouldn't go that far. I was trying. I was trying to be an expert. Yeah. We want to get expert by the judges and sit and be able to testify in court. I want the judge to make me an expert.
Sure, yeah.
But it's because there's an error rate in polygraph, neither side wants to
Well, the
put
first
it up there.
Thing they say is not admissible in a court of law or whatever,
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. But in New Mexico it is, so hopefully... Hopefully things will change.
Now, when you were doing that gig, was it, 8 hours a day just polygraph stuff, or was it just on and off?
I was still a field detective.
Okay.
And then this was an extra.
Wow.
If the polygraph stuff came up, that would generally take precedent.
Oh, okay.
I had great partners. Oh. My last partner was Rita Shergan. She retired. Outstanding detective. Smart
so there was a Chicago CPD polygraph unit sort of a thing, right?
I was with the detective division. Okay. The polygraph unit that is there works for the human relations division, and they give polygraph tests to our applicants that are coming in.
Okay.
I've done a bunch of those.
Oh, do they really?
Those are the interesting ones.
When you want to be a police officer, you have to voluntarily take a polygraph.
Absolutely.
Wow.
We need trustworthy people.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need people who can take responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's looking for perfect, Mike. Yeah. We know perfect doesn't exist out there. I'm not perfect. Far from it. Other people, they come in, we want to make sure that you're willing to take the responsibility for your actions.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hardest part in policing right now. Is we take the hit by the media.
Oh, I think it's terrible.
But absolutely. Sometimes it's because we're not getting out in front and saying, yes, we did X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
If we got out in front of it, I did it. I'm taking responsibility. And here's why.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff would tend to go away. It's when people try to put anything under the rug. It's a lack of transparency.
Yeah.
And it's no fault of the individual officers or anything else. And I think it's policing nationwide, if not worldwide.
It's culture. It's terrible. Anti-police culture. It's awful.
It's ugly.
And that's one of the reasons we do this show.
Thank you.
We aren't buying that. All right. So you have all these young recruits and... How long was this? You told me some of your sessions would last 4 or 5 hours, but not with the young recruits, right? I mean,
Generally, those last 2 to 3 hours.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. They get a break in between.
Yeah.
It's not, and you're not sitting being charted where you have all the instrumentation on your person for that long. It's a lot of talking. We interview, we go through stuff to make sure they understand everything that's going on, to make sure they understand how the polygraph works, why the polygraph works. Because like a lot of us, once we get explained to how something works, it brings a lot of tension down.
Yeah.
Once you get a little bit of a break, once you find out that this crazy bald man who may have been yelling at me 5 minutes ago is now, he's just looking for somebody to pass the baton off to.
Yeah.
But we need good people, honest people.
Yeah.
So I like it. It's a good gig. It's always funny when they come in and wonder why, I did a robbery. Did you? When did you do that robbery? And as a detective, I'm taking notes.
Well, do you have like a scenario that you put them through? Or I mean, I'm sure you have a whole game that you're playing out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the recruits have a different script than the criminals.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's very, you know. It can be a little dicey sometimes. I wonder. For the candidates coming in there, there's a whole packet of information they have to fill out.
Yeah.
And we go through it line by line, and a lot of that gets it in there. And if they have an issue with something when something happened, I kind of did this. One of my favorite stories was a young candidate came in, had an excellent resume,
right.
Everything looks good. College, military, you know.
He had it all.
Yeah. It was a she, but we'll go.
Okay.
I will always use candidates there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The candidates coming in here get through the whole test and like, okay, no problem. Now we do the charting. All of a sudden, we get into...
Is that when you hook them up?
That's when we hook them up. You have all the stuff on your system. We do a little practice chart to get them used to it.
Yeah.
And then we get into the middle of it. And all of a sudden, we go through and there is a theft question. Have you ever stolen anything valued in excess of $100?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I watch the this needle thing spike. Mm-hmm. She turns her head over to me and goes, when I was 4 years old, I stole 2 chocolate coins. And I literally leaned over and goes, I really don't care. We talked about this. Stop the chart, because with polygraph, where the brain goes, the body follows.
Yeah.
It records your involuntary reactions.
Yeah.
So this candidate, she all of a sudden got nervous. I said, okay, wait. Stop the test. Take the stuff off. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's get this out in the open. Well, what happened? When I was 4 years old, we went into like the Walgreens. And it was around Christmas time, and they have the little red mesh bags that have like the little chocolates in there. She didn't take 2 chocolate bags. There was a little bag that was open. She took 2 of the little chocolate coins out of
the bag. Yeah.
Goes, mom doesn't catch her.
Yeah.
She goes out, they go into the car, no one did. Mom's buckling her in the seat. What happens? She says, well, where'd you get those from?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I took them. Mom, I'll have no thieves in my home.
Oh, wow.
God bless her. Fine Irish woman.
Yeah.
Brings her back
going
in.
Back in.
Apologizes to the lady. Yeah. And mom worked in retail. That wasn't quite enough. Because they know about shrinkage and, you know, that's why things cost more because of people who steal.
Yeah.
Made this poor little kid over the intercom apologize to the store.
Oh, my God.
That person never stole anything her entire life and will never.
Yeah.
This confident, well-adjusted.
Yeah.
Excellent candidate who's probably doing really well on the police department.
But if you hadn't stopped and gotten to the core story, it would have looked like she was lying.
It would have looked like she was a thief.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, there's more to it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
good
where a lot of the investigations where that stuff comes in there.
Yeah.
But you have to be a good interviewer and interrogator to
get
that.
That's fascinating. Through. You know, that would make a great, you know, you see so many cop shows. They should have a cop show about the, you know, polygraph guys, you know. And then the story spins out from there, but that's pretty cool.
I could be a great technical advisor, but I got a face for radio, brother.
Just like me. Now, tell me about piping. When did you get into that, bagpiping?
Oh, I love my bagpiping.
First of all,
such a great thing.
The Emerald Society, terrific organization.
Thank you. I think so,
too. And I'm a member. And, you know, it's like Cy Sperling. I'm also not only a member, I'm a patient as well. But they are terrific guys. And we've just gotten to know them over the course of this show, and they've been nothing but great to us. So that's a great organization.
It is. We love the Irish American Police Association. We're a fraternal organization that wants to keep Irish culture and heritage alive.
Yeah.
I was a member in the Emerald Society of Illinois since 1995.
Oh, okay.
I joined the band in 1999, so I've been doing this over 20 years now.
And so you had to learn how to play the pipes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, from scratch. You know?
Yes.
Get the chanter out and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
It is a great stress reliever.
I'll bet, yeah.
It is, with our band, we are the bagpipes and drums of the Emerald Society of the Chicago Police Department. We are police from all over the Chicagoland area, including federal agencies, state agencies. We have a few guys from Indiana, too. It's just a great group of people who our mission is to honor our fallen.
Yeah.
Which is great, and that's very important. We do excellent for the funerals. I always try and tell people, the bagpipes, we invoke an emotional response.
Absolutely.
You can love me or hate me, but I'm not a zero.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get in there, and in a sad little story on how I got started.
Yeah.
March 9th, 1999, James Henry Camp was murdered in the line of duty. He was on my same tack team in the 21st District.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
God,
it was. I'd been on for about 4 years. I'd been to other funerals, but never had it so close.
Yeah.
And you go through, and you shake hands and you stand at attention. You got your pretty little ribbons on and your shoes are shining brightly.
Were you in the Emerald Society then?
I wasn't in the pipe band yet.
Okay, yeah.
I was in the Emerald Society of Illinois, yeah. Our fraternal organization. And all of a sudden you're standing there and you're giving your condolences. And what can you do when you're at the cemetery? You stand as straight as you can.
Sure.
You're trying to be there to be some type of support.
Yeah.
But as police, we want to do more. We aren't the people who are trying to do less. We're the ones that when you call, we go.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, we're standing there and have our pretty little ribbons all shined up, and we're standing in our big block formation, and everyone's going like, and you can look around going, oh, what else can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do right now? And then we hear the skirl of the pipes.
Yeah.
Halfway down, escorting the hearse
casket
down.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked over and said, those guys are doing more.
Wow.
That June, they had a notice in our daily bulletin.
Yeah.
And I went down for a meeting.
Yeah.
Listened to them, went, okay. I know a little bit of music from grammar school and high school. I could read music.
Yeah.
Got down there and just started learning, started practicing. A great stress reliever.
Yeah.
People need to change the channel. And also with police, sometimes we become a little closed from the rest of society.
Yeah.
And this also helps us because wherever we go, when we're playing our bagpipes, people like us.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. The first St. Jude's parade I played down on State Street, marching down the street,
yeah.
And I was carrying a flag at the time and incredibly proud to do it.
Yeah.
And looking over, and little kids are waving at us. No one's cursing us out. No one's screaming. I'm like,
yeah.
Wait a second. We're in uniform. And wait. There are good people out there.
Yeah,
there and
are.
We meet a lot of them.
Yeah.
And the music can draw that in together. We play Irish, American, Scottish music.
Did you go to Ireland on any of those trips? A lot of the guys went to Ireland.
Yeah. They went on a trip to Ireland to play for St. Patrick's Day a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I went a few years before to play for the International Special Olympics, and we played in
Croke
Park.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. We went with a whole delegation from Illinois and had a great time. Like I said, we played in Croke Park. We played for the Gardaí, the Irish police.
The Garda Síochána.
Oh, yeah. God love them. The Guardians of Peace and Justice.
Yeah.
So it's excellent. No, that was it was a great trip. We played in 9/11.
We
were one of the few bands that were allowed to go and perform inside the year after. The decimation of was incredible.
Right into it and played there, yeah.
Absolutely, we did.
Now, tell me about your wife. What's your wife's name?
My wife is Sandy.
Sandy, and you have four kids.
We do. My wife is
the best.
Well,
give the kids
ever.
A shout out.
Oh,
how old are the kids? What are their names?
Declan will be 11.
Ah, fine Irish name.
He'll be 11 on Friday.
Hi, Declan.
He's a great kid. Then we have Cormac. We call him
Mickey. Oh, Cormac, another guy. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And all last name harmoning. It's always fun to get the... he's a great kid. Just wonderful. They all
are. How old is he?
He's 9.
Okay.
My daughter, Ellery May.
Okay.
She just turned 6 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Happy birthday, Ellery. She's just a precocious,
happy
wonderful
birthday,
little one.
Happy birthday, Ellery.
And then our youngest is Charlotte, and she's
Charlotte.
2.
Oh,
yes.
I have a granddaughter, Charlotte.
Oh, Charlotte's a beautiful name.
It is, yeah.
Charlotte
Marie.
Charlotte
the Shark, we call her.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
2-year-olds, they're... wonderful.
So you have a great family.
Yes.
And your wife's obviously a homemaker. She's taking care of the kids. And
she is the hardest working person in our family, hands down.
Yeah.
She doesn't catch a break and has 4 little minions that she tries to get from place to place. My wife, Sandy, is the
best
ever. You
look kind of like a minion now that you bring that up.
I do, yeah. And yes, dear, it's far easier to try and do my best for her.
Yes.
She takes care of me and takes care of us so well. I'm so lucky to have her. Love of my life.
Yeah. Well, you got a great story, you know. And now what? How much longer do you think you're going to be on? You got 25 years and you could do another 10. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I will be 48 on Monday.
Oh, okay. You're still a very young guy. Yeah.
I started young and I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
Which, when you know what you want and can go after it, I think that's a good thing. There's a little bit of a problem with a lot of our high school and college kids. They're not planning on what they want to do,
right.
Who they want to be.
Right.
They're just kind of flowing.
Yeah.
you got to decide, man. It used to be before me, you know, in high school, okay, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go get a job, or you go to college to go to get a job. It wasn't, well, I have to go find myself. Well, you're not lost, son.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Yeah. Who do you want to be? Yeah. Pick it. Yeah. It doesn't have to last forever, but you can do something different later.
Now, you're working in the 4th District. Do you work with a lot of young people there?
I make the joke that my gun is older than some of the people I supervise. So, you're looking, when were you born? Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. We got to get that going. They're great. The officers, I have been incredibly pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Being in the detective division for 18 years, I'm far removed.
Yeah.
I know the officers who are coming up making big felony arrests.
Yeah.
And I'm helping them with the prosecution of those arrests.
Yeah.
But I don't see the kids who are doing the job, who are going to calls all night long.
Oh, yeah.
I work what we call the first watch, which is midnights.
Yeah.
And at 48 years old, I feel it every day.
Sure.
But these officers, they come in here, they want to work, they want to do the right thing. I'm very happy to pass the baton off to them. Now, yeah. I'll always say it's the bell curve. You have people who are superstars on one end and not so super on the other end. But the majority of them, they back each other up. They're safe.
Yeah.
Because of my experience, they tend to listen to me easier.
Oh, yeah.
So
you've been around the block.
Yeah. So yeah. It's a little easier, but they are excellent officers. I am extraordinarily lucky to be there. And, you know, I wish them the best and safest careers. As you broke up, how long am I going to do? I used to tell all my bosses, well, you can't make me leave for 17 years. So we'll see about getting that done. But we'll see what the world holds.
Yeah.
There's always other options.
Sure.
I want to make sure I do my polygraph I really enjoy.
Yeah, that's a good
I actually have my own business, Midwest Polygraph
Security,
Analytics.
Security, yeah.
No, doing the polygraph for other police agencies.
What's the plug again? What's the name?
Midwest Polygraph Analytics.
Okay.
So you can see me.
So you do background
Gmail.
Checks and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, good for you. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've worked for a few agencies outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
But it's a great tool, and the goal of the polygraph is to get information.
Right.
So when I'm teaching a lot of these newer officers, and I always laugh, it's kind of teaching. I try not to lecture to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no one, when we're getting pointed at or pointed down to, they don't get it.
Yeah.
I always want to make sure that they understand, or if they got questions. Questions are good.
Yeah.
I like when somebody has a question. During the polygraph, that's one of the first things I say. If you got a question on anything, you stop and you ask me.
Stop
I don't care if we have anything else going on.
Yeah.
Your question's important. They never have a question because they get it all out of them. It's great. That's great.
Now, are you marching next week?
Oh, yeah, we'll be marching all the time. We're actually starting this Saturday out in Manhattan,
March
Illinois.
7th. Oh, the Manhattan Irish Fest.
Yeah, the
Fest.
Manhattan Irish Fest.
Yeah.
Great people out there.
Oh, yeah,
had
they
great
are.
Times.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. And then we'll be hitting the downtown parade on Saturday.
Right.
Sunday, we... it's tough because we are a wonderful band and we're in demand. So we actually split up the band and get about 20 guys
to
do
the south
side Irish parade,
yeah.
And then up to the north side, northwest side Irish parade.
Oh, that's right. That's a big one. Yeah,
yeah, that's
Liz
great.
Liz Murray Belcaster.
Yes.
Yeah, Liz is a friend.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's awesome. My north side Irish friends are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Have always had a good time any time I've gone up there. When our south side Irish friends... when we had to close the parade down for a little.
Oh, yeah.
Then the north side kind of picked up that. I was very distraught when the south side Irish parade went down.
Who wasn't?
I'm from St. Cajetan.
Sure.
The heart of the parade was started there, and the wee folks of Washtenaw I went to grammar school
with.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So when all of a sudden I marched in it as a kid, marching in high school, I sat on the outside and stood in a few private areas and imbibed when I was in after 21 and older.
In the bushes, drinking a beer.
As I see you making the sign of the cross every day, sir.
It's great now that they brought the tradition back after the three-year hiatus. Skinny was very involved in bringing it back.
Skinny's a great guy.
And our show was instrumental in making that happen, we like to think. But we're glad it's back and in good hands.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Great people who are running it. And it is getting, it got a little weird when there are people coming there in buses.
Yeah, from the north side.
Yeah. I said, I like my Northside guy. Okay.
They were hammered when they got here. Yeah.
When you start with a case of beer at 9 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be a tough day. Yeah. It's going to be a tough day.
You got to come back. We're out of time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
John,
I'm just blabbering on.
It's been great talking to you, and you have a vast and varied career. You're a good cop, and that's what we need more of. So stay safe out there, pal, will you?
I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much.
Sure. Come back and see us. Have a happy St. Patrick's Day. God bless you, John Harmoning.
Absolutely.
All right,
thanks,
pal. We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Caroline Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
The following is a paid-for political announcement.
Hi, my name is Regina Ann Meskel, and I'm running for judge in the 3rd Sub-Circuit. I am a career prosecutor, and I'm the only career public servant in my race. I'm also the only candidate who is rated highly qualified by the Chicago Bar Association. I am also the only candidate who is rated highly qualified by the Illinois State Bar Association. I live in Christ the King with my husband, Peter, and our 4 children. Experience matters. I have over 100 jury trials under my belt. That includes 87 felony jury trials. I specialize in prosecuting murder cases and any case with a deceased victim. My father's people are from Clare and from County Mayo, and I believe in working hard for you. I am not connected to any politician. I simply am getting the word out to the streets because I believe that the people should be the ones that pick the judges. When you think of voting, I'm the only Regina on the ballot. Think of me, and this ad is paid for by Friends of Regina Meskel.
The preceding has been a paid-for political announcement.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Hey, that was great, Sergeant John Harmoning, Emerald Society, 25-year veteran, Sergeant, Chicago Police Department, just a terrific guest. And thanks to him and his family. Hey, we just heard from our friend Regina Ann Meskel, who is running for judge, and we wish her the best on Tuesday, Election Day. And thanks to her for coming on the show. She's from Beverly. She's from CK, my old parish. And we wish her the best, as well as John Griffin, who is a friend of mine. I'm giving you my endorsements now. John Griffin, Dan Lipinski, don't forget him. He's the best. And a group of a lot of other people, but they haven't paid me. And I'm such a... No. Thanks to Regina Ann Meskel, and good luck to her and all the candidates on Tuesday. Now, Billy, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who died?" Suzanne Margaret Smith, her own name was Noonan of Elmhurst, beloved wife of John Jack Smith. Suzanne was a longtime educator within the Archdiocese of Chicago Schools and a former member of the DePaul University Women's Board. She's a longtime volunteer of the Ronald McDonald House, an active member of the Irish Fellowship Club and the Irish American Heritage Center. She's going to be missed there, I can tell you. She had a lot of fans there, so God rest her soul, Susan Margaret Smith. Also an old friend of PJ's, John Sean Gardner, 90, a native of Liston-Varna, County Clare, who's the beloved husband of the late Helen and the loving father of Rosemary and Mary Ellen. Just a terrific guy, terrific family. He and his brothers were legends on the Northwest side, and he was a wonderful friend and neighbor to all. So God rest his soul, John T. Gardner, Sean Gardner. Also, Emmett J. Lee, 86, United States Army veteran, beloved husband of Marilyn Lee, and the father of Margaret, Mike, Jeannie, John, and Tom. Emmett worked for 39 years with the Santa Fe Railroad and as a clerk with the DuPage County Courts. God rest his soul, Emmett J. Lee, 86. Also, Hugh McLaughlin, 86, also a native of Donegal, County Donegal. Beloved husband of 60 years to Marie and the devoted father of Dan, Jerry Ann, Linda, Hugh, and the late Gerard McLaughlin. Hugh is a proud member of Iron Workers Union Local 1 and also a member of the Pioneers. And where was he waked? At Sheehy's, where all the right people go. And by the way, I want to thank Bob Sheehy and Pat Byrne for coming on the show last week. And good luck to them Saturday night with their party for the Mulliganeers. And you can still probably get over there. It's over at Local 150 Hall on Joliet Road in Countryside. So get over there and help them out. Okay. I think we're going to take another break here. Oh, wait. Let me just do a couple of plugs. You know, this is an Irish first responder show. And a friend of mine, Jim Hauser, who's an attorney, volunteers whenever this comes up. It's called Wills for Heroes Foundation. It's an organization of lawyers who voluntarily will do wills for police officers, and they usually do it over police headquarters. There's one coming up next weekend, I think. But keep your, you know, if you're a police officer and you don't have the dough to pay a lawyer for a will, and you should have a will, get and tell you, oh, it's Saturday, March 21st over at police headquarters. Wills for Heroes is a great organization. And don't forget, Saturday, March 14th, the Emerald Society's Big Patrick's Day Parade Celebration over at Local 399 Operating Engineers Hall, 2260 South Grove Street, Chicago, Illinois. Corned beef and cabbage, beer, and bring the kids. It's a great party, and I'll be there, and they'll have a lot of the officers who are marching. They get in if they have their uniforms on at a reduced rate. What a great organization. We talk to them often. Watch, come by and see them in action. Saturday, March 14th, I think it starts, well, it starts right after the parade, but people can park there and then go to the parade. There are shuttle buses that take you to the parade. Saturday, March 14th, the Emerald Society meeting notice. Okay. Oh, Jim Mullen, we want to give him a plug. If you're planning your St. Patrick's Day feast, make sure you go get yourself some Mullen's applesauce. Jim's a veteran Chicago police officer who was injured in the line of duty and was paralyzed. He now makes a living selling applesauce, and it's thick and chunky, and it's like apple pie without the crust. So if you see that at Jewel, grab a couple of cans of that and help out our pal Jim Mullen. What else can I tell you? Don't forget, Skinny and I are going to Ireland. You'll be hearing more about that, but we're going July 7th to the 17th. And if you're in the if you're looking for a car, go see our pal Dick Haggerty. Ricardo, call Dick Haggerty. Call him over there and say you want to talk to Ricardo. He's been to Ireland several times with his brother Billy, and he comes with me and Skinny, and just he's great company, and he's very interested in helping out Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics. And he'll give you a deal and tell him who he sent you. So they are good friends and loyal supporters. So thanks to them. Keep your eye out for Haggerty's right over there in Oak Lawn. And then the Volkswagen place is right over at 89th and Cicero. Okay, we're going to take a little break now, and we'll be back with some crazy stuff. So stick around on Hibernian Radio.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian Radio Show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you gotta check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at ConcernUSA.org. That's ConcernUSA.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
And we are back on Hibernian Radio. Hey, I want to remind everybody, next week, Skinny returns to the show for one night only because of St. Patrick's Day.
Who cares?
Very good, Billy. That was good. Perfect timing. Skinny will be with us. Derry Cronin from Specialized Travel, who was handling the trip, our trip to Ireland. And everybody is invited to come meet us at Cork and Kerry on Sunday, March 22nd at Cork and Kerry, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. We're having a big party. We're going to watch our Irish pub on TV, and then we're going to stick around and have our day of, a PowerPoint presentation about the trip. Okay, you know, one thing I want to mention now, it's St. Patrick's Day is coming up and everything. Whose idea was it to have Election Day on St. Patrick's Day? Now, that really sticks in my craw. I mean, some politicians I like, most of them I hate. And they somehow have co-opted our holiday. We got to look at all this crap in the newspaper and on the radio and everything for politicians. You know, it's somebody who's ever at the Board of Elections, you're going to have to pay for this. You're going to have to. I'm going to make a campaign. It's a personal campaign. I am sick of having Election Day on St. Patrick's Day. Enough about that. Let's take a trip to Hooleytown now, and I'll tell you a few more things.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mixed what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooleytown.
Hooleytown.
Welcome to Hooleytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooleytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hooleytown. One thing I want to say is, can you, my old friend Billy Wooten, please give me a hand with this door? Push it. Khloe Kardashian confirms Kylie Jenner chose not to breastfeed their daughter Stormy.
Who cares?
Ben Affleck says that his child stardom was the reason Matt Damon started acting. He was incredibly jealous.
Who cares?
Prince William jokes that he and the Duchess Kate are spreading coronavirus while on the Ireland tour.
Who cares?
Britney Spears is in no rush to make new music amid work hiatus.
Who cares?
Duchess Kate allegedly gave Meghan Markle her favorite plant-based skin elixir.
Who cares?
Britney Spears considers getting rid of her tattoo she got with ex-husband Kevin Federline.
Who cares?
Justin Timberlake throws Jessica Biel a pajama party for her 38th birthday.
Who cares?
Finally, Mayor Lori Lightfoot mistaken for Yoda at the Star Wars premiere.
Who cares?
Close it up! Push it! Wait, let me get that latch at the top. Climb up on my back and get that latch. Can you reach it? Oh, thank you so much. There we go. Oh, we're going out? No joke? Okay. Hey, everybody. Next week is, we're in March now. Skinny will be on the show next week, so come on by Wednesday night, March 11th, or tune in next week. Hope to see you all over the high holy days. God bless you all. We'll see you later. Bye.
Oh, Lord, I wonder, will I look down the road, and I wonder, just to see how far I was from God. Walking, oh, I started walking. I just buckled up my shoes.